Welcome to CW Today, a daily 5-minute program dedicated to helping women with their life relationships, hosted by veteran ladies conference speaker and the editor of Christian Womanhood magazine, Mrs. Loretta Walker. The closer a woman's heart is to the heart of God, the better able she is to thrive in her relationships with others. In that spirit, here's the host of CW Today, Mrs. Loretta Walker.
Have you ever read a portion of scripture and it just jumped, something just jumped out at you? Well, the other day I was reading Mark chapter 5 and all I could think of, it's just all I could think of is I want to fit in with that crowd. That's all I could think of. Now, I really grew up without needing to fit into a group. I don't know why. I don't know if it's self-confidence. I don't know if I just was so hurt by people I wanted to stay away from them. But I really didn't need to be a part of a crowd. I don't remember that being a predominant thought as a teenager. But when I read this portion of scripture, and I'm going to read it to you in a second, I thought, oh, I hope that I would be picked to be part of that crowd. And you'll see why in just a minute. In Mark 5, 35 through 43, it says, "And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" This was a man that came up to Jesus. He had just healed the woman with the issue of blood. And this ruler came up and told him that his daughter was sick and wanted him to go do something about it. And so the people around him said, "Why are you troubling the master? Because your daughter's already dead." Then verse 36, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." Now, I'm just going to pause there a minute and tell us all. That phrase would do us all well when in any situation. Be not afraid, only believe. Believe that God's got control of this and that he's in charge. But anyway, verse 37, "And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him." Who was that again, ladies? Peter, James, and John. "And entered in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." But those two verses there where it says, he put all them people out, and he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him. And I thought in my mind, boy, would I like to have been a part of that crowd. I'd like to be part of Peter, James, and John, whom Jesus chose to take with him to help to see the damsel healed. And in my mind, I started thinking, well, why did he choose Peter, James, and John? Well, contrary to what I believed in my early years, you know, I used to think Jesus showed favoritism toward Peter, James, and John. But as I've grown in Christ, I've realized that the big reason why he took them is because they had such great faith in him. And I believe it's because they walked with him closer than the other disciples. They knew his heart. They believed in him. I don't think they were part of the group that said up there in verse 35, "Why troublest thou the master any further?" I don't think they were part of that group. They were part of the group that believed in God and trusted God. And that's the crowd I want to be a part of. How about you? If you were there, would Jesus choose you to go with him because you have such great faith and believe in him and trust him? And part of it might be that they made him feel more powerful because of their belief in him. I want to be the kind of person that gives God more power by believing and trusting in him. I want to give him more praise than the average person. And I believe that's why you're listening today, because you also want to be part of that crowd. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Thanks, Miss Loretta. CW Today is a production of Faith Music Radio. For additional material about Loretta Walker, CW Today, and about Christian Womanhood Magazine, visit Faith Music Radio online at www.faithmusicradio.com.
Well, happy Thursday. You're listening to 11 to 1 on Faith Music Radio, and I'm Janice. I'm your host till 1 o'clock, bringing you programming designed with ladies in mind. And thank you for joining us today. And I've got a song by the Walker family here called I Can't But God Can. And they recorded it this year at Faith Music Mission. So it was released in 2020. I Can't But God Can. And the album title, it's called Triumph Through Trials. You and I are going to continue our conversation on contentment from the Evotions put out by Christian Womanhood, written by Molly Otis. If you want to sign up for Evotions, go to christianwomanhood.org and you can sign up and get the Evotions. It's free. It's just a devotional sent to you by email each Monday, and you can sign up for those, and they are great. And we'll be talking about one today, the one called Contentment. Also at 12:30, Silhouettes with Sherry House. She's featuring the life of Annie Funk. Searching for accolades in all the wrong places is the Bible study for today. Here's that song by the Walker family. Stay with us. You're listening to Faith Music Radio.
God can. And I can't cause the birds to sing or make flowers bloom when it comes spring or mend the sparrow's broken wing, but God can. It's good to know the one who hung the stars in bright array, and it's good to know he sees the hurt I feel from day to day.
No, I can't part the mighty sea, and I can't make the demons flee.
But I can fall down on my knees, and God can.
But God can. When tomorrow's gone, he'll still be there, so I'll just leave them in his care, knowing he will hear my prayer, and God can.
It's good to know the one who hung the stars in bright array, and it's good to know he sees the hurt I feel from day to day.
No, I can't part the mighty sea, and I can't make the demons flee.
But I can fall down on my knees, and God can.
No, I can't part the mighty sea, and I can't make the demons flee.
But I can fall down on my knees, and God can. I can fall down on my knees, and God can.
Since 1976, Jerry Eigner Construction has been a specialist in site development throughout Southwest Indiana. For nearly 40 years, people have called Jerry Agner Construction for commercial building, residential subdivision, single-family residences, as well as lake, pond, and waterway development. A diversity of skills and experience make Jerry Agner Construction a solid choice for your next project. Call Jerry Agner Construction in Boonville, Indiana. 812-897-5815, 812-897-5815, online at agnerconstruction.com.
His strength is perfect. You're listening to 11 to 1. This is Faith Music Radio. Andrew Russ there. His strength is perfect. The song started pretty much with a paraphrase of the verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And God gives us the strength, if we study the passage, God gives us the strength to be content. In whatever state we find ourselves, He can give us the strength to, whether we're abounding or whether we are in need, He can give us the strength to go through it with the right spirit, with the right attitude. Because sometimes when we're abounding, we can become prideful and think, well, you know, Well, I've got it all together and I have my act together and everything's perfect because I'm such a wonderful person. And when we have that attitude, that's an attitude of pride. But God can give us the strength to stay humble, even times when things are going so well for us. And God can give us the strength to realize it's not my strength anyway. It's God's gifts and God's abilities. That's why I have what I have. But when we're in need, God can give us the strength to go endure those times of need, because He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And He's going to provide for His children. The Bible promises that. And so we can be content. Well, Molly Otis wrote a devotional and it was put out by Christian Womanhood called Evotions. She's the Evotions director. So each Monday, a devotional goes out that is written, most of them by Molly Otis. And it's on contentment. Contentment with what we have, Molly says, is not natural to our sinful human nature. And that is why Paul tells us in Philippians that we can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. We need His mind to live a contented life. This is something we must conquer each and every day. Contentment is a vital component of the Christian life. Its opposite, lust and envy, destroy our usefulness for the Lord. Molly says, consider our time at church. Our church attendance is not simply about us and getting our spiritual needs met. Much of the purpose of meeting together as a church family is so we can encourage one another. Going to church is actually a ministry of helps to edify and lift up fellow Christians with our words and deeds. You find that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. And you know that famous passage, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more, the Bible says, as you see the day approaching, we should be encouraging each other. But this purpose is destroyed when we go to church and we look at another with envy or lust. While standing to sing the congregational song, are you checking out what the other ladies are wearing, wishing you had that outfit? Are you wishing you had their figure instead of yours, their vehicle, their hairdo, their personality, their position in the church, or worse than anything, wishing you had their children or their husband? Oh my, these thoughts are not what Christ had in mind when He started the church. We'll come back with more on this great article on contentment by Molly Otis. But I have a song for you. It's sung here by the Daughtry Sisters. So much the more as ye see the day approaching.
So much the more as you see the day.
what a powerful song that is by the Daughtry Sisters. There's so much the more. We're talking about contentment, and Molly Otis in this article says we can fall victim to discontentment so quickly and easily. We wake up in the morning and all is right in the world. Then we watch a little TV, noticing the beautiful, perfect lives of the actresses, as well as their awesome hairstyles and clothes. A little later in the day, we open the mail and look through the catalogs. Again, we see all the things we can't afford and the pretty airbrushed models who fill the pages. We spend time scrolling on social media, looking at the perfect lives of others. Next, we talk to the friend on the phone or maybe a colleague at work who always reminds us of all the great things her boyfriend or husband buys for her or does for her. The green-eyed monster is also talking in our other ear. And before bed, we end the day with a romance novel, always written by a woman, you notice, because no man in real life actually thinks or talks that way. So true. And after we've filled our minds with all these things we do not have, how can we possibly hope to be content with our normal, real, average lives? We are angry at our husbands for not providing for us, and they don't even know what they did wrong. Well, we're going to talk more on this when we come back. But first, we have a song and then Silhouettes with Sherry House. This song is called I Just Want to Please the Lord. How about that for contentment? And then you'll hear from Silhouettes with Sherry House. Stay with Faith.
There were trophies to be won, successes there to gain. Some would give their very souls to reach earth's highest plane. But to count it gain would be my loss if I lay down commitment's cross. So I lift my eyes to things above and serve Him with a heart of love. I just want to please the Lord, be in His will in every way, to be lost in His presence, found in likeness, hear Him say, well done, someday. My plans had all been made since I already cast. The world was at my fingertips. I had arrived at last. But the cry could not be pacified from a heart about to break inside. Then Jesus showed Himself to me and said, just look what you could be. I just want to please the Lord, be in His will in every way, to be lost in His presence, found in His likeness, hear Him say, well done, someday. So I will bring my offering and lay it at His feet.
All I was, all I am, all I ever hope to be.
I just want to please the Lord.
I want to hear Him say, well done, someday.
Hello, I'm Sherry House, a missionary living in Thailand who loves to study the lives of great women of whom it can be said, she hath done what she could. Welcome to Silhouettes, my weekly story about a lady whose life challenges, encourages, and teaches me. I hope as you listen today, your heart will be encouraged and challenged too, to do what you can for the Lord. So grab a cup of tea, sit back and enjoy. Let me tell you her story. Annie Clemmer Funk was born on April 12, 1874 in Bally, Pennsylvania. She came from a long line of Mennonites who had emigrated from Germany in the 1700s. She was one of nine children and her family ran a mill farm. They faithfully attended Hereford Mennonite Church, where her father was a deacon for 25 years and where Annie taught Sunday school. From a young age, Annie wanted nothing more than to be a teacher, and her love for reading books about faraway places like Africa and China influenced her desire to want to teach somewhere on the mission field. Annie studied teaching at the Westchester Normal School in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and went on to attend D.L. Moody's Northfield Seminary for Young Ladies for the purpose of preparing herself for full-time service. While home from seminary in 1899, Annie, aged 25, attended a special conference held at her home church to address the urgent needs in India, a country that had been ravaged by famine for the past few years. After hearing about the plight of the Indian people, Annie was even more determined to serve the Lord on the foreign field. Upon her graduation, she was given a home assignment where she worked with immigrants in the slums of Chattanooga, Tennessee. From there, she accepted a staff position with the YWCA in Paterson, New Jersey. In 1906, at the age of 32, Annie became the first single female Mennonite missionary when she answered an urgent plea put out by missionaries for an unmarried woman to come and help reach the women and children of India. She left on November 16th of that same year and made the four-week-long, 9,000-mile arduous journey all by herself. She settled in the town of Jhansgir, a district in the central province of India. She started by learning the Hindi language and getting to know the area. The children in her home church and other churches in America raised funds to purchase Annie a bike. She used it extensively to travel from village to village carrying her Bible and a portable organ. Although the heat was stifling and she was surrounded by people suffering from leprosy, malaria, and cholera, Annie thrived in the primitive living circumstances. She believed that the love that drew her to Christ would draw others to Him as well. In 1908, after being in India for only a year and a half, Annie was able to fulfill her dream and opened a village school for poor girls who would otherwise have no education. The school was a one-room mud hut, and she had 17 girls for her first enrollment. In 1910, Annie was able to move her school to a much more substantial brick building, which was better suited for her growing enrollment. Annie acknowledged that some might see this as secular work, but she wrote to a friend, "By these means, the people come to see that we are here to help them and not to hinder them. It is a drawing cord, and we trust that through it, the children may be wont to see the love of our Savior, and through them, the parents. These things are bound to influence for good, even if we will never see the visible fruit of our labors." In March of 1912, after being in India for 5 years, Annie received a telegram from her pastor at her home church saying she needed to take an early furlough and come home quickly as her mother was unwell and that he had purchased 2 passage tickets for her. Annie traveled by land and sea through India, France, and finally England. Upon arriving, she learned that the last part of her trip, a voyage on the SS Haverford, which would take her to America, would be delayed 6 more days due to a coal strike. At the suggestion of a travel agent, she traded her ticket in for a second-class ticket on a luxury liner called the Titanic. The Titanic's maiden voyage was set to leave Southampton the very next day. The agent assured her it would get her home in record time. On April 14, 1912, at the age of 38, Annie died along with more than 1,500 others when the Titanic sunk at sea. Annie's body, if ever recovered, was never identified. Eventually, the school Annie started was renamed Annie C. Funk Memorial Girls' School. Donations of money were given by friends and churches in America to enlarge the school and keep it going. A second-story dormitory was added for boarding students, and in the end, more than 3,500 girls were educated at the school, with many coming to know the Lord as Christ before its doors closed in 1960. A memorial gravestone was erected at her home church's cemetery in Pennsylvania that says her life was one of service in the spirit of the Master, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Well, you can find out more about Annie Funk on my website, sherryhouse.com, but let me tell you one more story from her life that resonated with one of my own. Annie celebrated her 38th birthday just a couple days into the voyage on the Titanic. On the night of their fourth day at sea, as the ship was nearing Newfoundland, they hit an iceberg which tore an opening in the unsinkable ship. The order was given for the lifeboats to be lowered, and women and children began to be ushered into them. Annie was safely seated in one of the last lifeboats available when she heard a woman yell, "My children, my children!" The woman's children were on the boat. Annie immediately stood up and allowed the woman to have her seat. A quick Google search will tell you that Annie is not listed among those who are considered to be the most famous people who died or survived the sinking of the Titanic. On that list, you will find a millionaire, a famous actress, the owner of Macy's, a socialite, a railroad magnate, a steel magnate, a fashion designer, a major landowner, a Broadway producer, and a countess, among others. Much has been recorded about those famous people, and many of them were made even more famous when they were included in the Hollywood movie Titanic. In stark contrast, Annie's story is not well known outside of Christian circles. Her only worldly accolades include a memorial marker in the Mennonite Church Cemetery in Pennsylvania and a plaque on the chapel wall at Northfield School where she trained. Annie had done nothing to cause the world to count her as famous in their eyes, but in Zhangjiagui, she has not been forgotten, where her story has become a legend and where her school, although now in ruins, is still visited by locals and tourists alike who come to see the home and remember the story of Anne Funk's bravery to come from a little community from the other side of the world to teach poor Indian girls and tell them about Christ. Only eternity will reveal the full extent of the results of Annie's short ministry on this earth. We don't always get to see the rewards of our labors, but sometimes the Lord gives us a glimpse of what it will be like in heaven to see the results of the work we've done on earth. In 2016, I traveled back to Nigeria for the first time since leaving there in 1997. Upon arriving in Ibadan, I found many of my Sunday school girls were still faithfully attending church, and some had married men I taught in the Bible college. It was a blessing to learn that they had been faithfully serving the Lord these many years. One of my jobs when I first arrived on the field was to start and run a singles ministry at our church. Within a year, our group had over 100 members. Most of these also attended the large university in our town. During my visit to Ibadan, I was being hosted by a friend and her husband who run a local Christian school that I had taught at for most of my short time in Nigeria. On the first day I arrived at the school, a woman came running up to me shouting, "My mother is here! My mother is here!" I'll admit, I was taken aback as I had no idea who this woman was, nor why in the world she would be calling me her mother. When she asked if I remembered her, I nodded affirmatively. How could I possibly tell her I didn't have the faintest clue who she was? She began explaining why she was so excited to see her mother to one of the other teachers I had just met. As I listened to her tell the story and searched this grown woman's animated face, I began to see the face of a young lady who had attended our church. Her name was Abby and had started attending our singles group sometime in the last year of her university studies. For the Nigerian university students, getting through college was a struggle itself, as the teachers often went on strike or other things kept them from learning. Finding work after graduation, though, was the real battle, and many graduates spent years submitting job applications and trying to make ends meet while waiting for a door of opportunity to open up. Abby went on to explain to the teacher that day that after her graduation, I brought her to meet my friend who was the head of the Christian school that I was teaching at and recommended her for a teaching position. I honestly do not remember doing this, but she was hired, and shortly after that, I left Nigeria to work on a different mission field. Since Facebook and social media was not a thing for many years to come, I had no communication with Abby from the day I left Nigeria until that day when I was standing in the school, looking at this grown woman calling me her mother. Although I'm embarrassed to admit I had forgotten all about this incident and, quite frankly, this young lady, she had not forgotten me and always considered me to be like a mother, someone who cared enough about her to find her a job, which enabled her to not have even one day of worry about where her income would come from, a job that allowed her to work in a Christian environment, and a job that provided a way eventually for her and her husband to let their children go to Christian school. What a beautiful treasure the Lord gave me that day. It makes me think how sweet it will be in heaven to find out the results of many of our other acts of kindness that we've done for Christ, whether we remember them or not.
Today I'd like to take a few minutes and talk to you about this matter of searching for accolades in all the wrong places. One of the tools of the devil to distract those of us trying to live our lives for Christ is to put things in our line of sight that cause us to be dissatisfied or that leave us feeling we are living an unsuccessful life or a life that is somehow less than par to the life of those living for worldly pleasure. There was a time when I wanted to be a famous fashion designer in New York City. I dreamt of having my designs displayed in the most prominent fashion magazines and to have the honor of being recognized by the fashion elite and have celebrities know me by name. The Lord had other plans for my life. I've never been featured in a magazine, and I'm quite certain that no celebrity has ever even heard my name mentioned. The psalmist talks about the dangers of having your eyes on the prosperity of the wicked in Psalm 73 when he says, "But as for me, my feet were well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." The psalmist goes on to say in verse 22, after having a period of reflection and time spent with the Lord in his sanctuary, "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." The desire to be famous or well-known or to even have the work we do recognized is a basic desire in human nature. Getting honor for the work we do is not a sin. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Romans 13:7, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." In 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, we're also told, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, the laborer is worthy of his reward." Again, receiving honor for the work we do is not a sin, but wanting recognition or honor from man or from the world should not be the driving force behind what we do. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:23 and 24, "And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Nearly all of Matthew 6 is dedicated to warning us to not do alms deeds or say our prayers or fast in order to gain the attention of man. The chapter goes on to warn us that the work we do or the treasures we try to acquire should not be of earthly value and instead should be rooted in eternal value. Our goal in life should not be to have our name plastered in lights somewhere, but for it to be hidden in the heart of God, that one day we might hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." These verses remind me of the story of the old missionary couple, Henry Morrison and his wife. They had been serving in Africa for 40 years, and they were finally retiring and returning to New York City. They happened to be on the same ship that Teddy Roosevelt was on when he was returning from one of his big game hunting expeditions. When they pulled into port, there was a huge fanfare with the mayor and other dignitaries, and crowds of people cheering and clapping as Teddy Roosevelt disembarked. No one, though, came to greet the elderly missionaries and welcome them home. It was a discouragement, particularly to Henry. Later that night, once they were settled in their humble one-bedroom apartment, Henry discussed his frustration at their homecoming, or lack thereof, with his wife. She sweetly suggested he discuss it with the Lord and tell him how he was feeling. A short while later, the husband came out of the room with a peaceful look on his face. The wife said, "I see you have it settled then." To which her husband replied, "Yes, the Lord reminded me, I'm not home yet." You and I are not home yet, and won't be until the day we step through heaven's gates. Until then, may we keep loving the Lord and keep looking for ways to show the love of Christ to others. May we keep serving Him and keep looking for ways to serve others so as to draw them to Christ. One day our accolades will come, and the crowns we have won will not be held up for all to see, but will gladly be laid at Jesus' feet. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's silhouette and learning a little bit more about Annie Funk's story and this matter of being careful to not look for accolades in all the wrong places. She truly was a woman of whom it could be said she hath done what she could. Let's you and I go do what we can do.
Silhouettes with Sherry is written and told by missionary Sherry House. To learn more about Sherry, this story, or other stories about women who were used of God, read Sherry's blog at sherryhouse.com. That's sharihouse.com. Silhouettes can be heard at this time every week on this station.
Silhouettes is a Causeway Media and Faith Music Radio production.
And what a great story, and what a great lesson there on looking for accolades in all the wrong places. And what we have to do as Christians is just say, take the world, but give me Jesus. And you can see that in the life of so many people who lay down their life to serve others and to serve the Lord. So we're going to play the song, Take the World, But Give Me Jesus, by Cecily Hamilton and Friends. And then we'll be back. We're talking about contentment today. And we'll be talking about where the devil blinds women most. And so stay with us here on Faith Music Radio. And again, Cecily Hamilton and Friends with that song, Take the World, But Give Me Jesus. Where does the devil blind women most? It's in the area of comparison. Think back to the Garden of Eden. Eve saw the one thing she couldn't have. And she began to compare it. Do you think she compared it to all the things she did have? Yeah, but I don't have that, you know. And she had to have that fruit, that the one that she didn't have. Remember the goat illustration we talked about last hour? Yes, the grass that we're standing on is just as green as the grass outside of our reach. Satan dupes us into thinking that if we try hard enough, we can attain happiness through the accumulation of things we do not have. Molly says in this article on contentment, my former pastor often reminded our church members that we are about as happy now as we ever will be. In other words, if we're not happy in the house we live in, we will not be happy in a mansion. And if we're not happy with the family God has given us, we would not be happy with any other family. And the same goes for our careers and any other part of our lives. Contentment is a state of mind and is not caused by circumstances. Think about this. When Paul wrote about contentment, he was in a prison cell. God wants to see your attitude with what you have. The job you have, the finances you have, the car you have, the health that you have, and the family you have. God has already given you everything you need to be happy on any given day. Let's not allow the devil to work his way into our marriage or other ministries by destroying our contentment. We must stay in our Bibles and on our knees daily to get the strength we need from Christ to remain content. The grass is greener inside the fence. And I want to remind you that Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 is a passage about contentment. It's a great passage to memorize. And that verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, is a verse about contentment. And so if you're not feeling content, claim the promise that you can be content through Christ, and He'll give you the strength to be content. He'll give you the strength and the wisdom to look around and realize how blessed you truly are. Friends, singing the gospel here, I am so blessed. I love counting my blessings, don't you? And maybe when we struggle with contentment, it's time to count our blessings. You're listening to Faith.
I start counting my blessings one by one. I do not deserve all that He's done for me, but I'll praise Him forever through eternity. And I am amazed that He take the time to give me such blessings and fill up my life. God is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. I am so blessed. He's given me breath and He's given me life. He has saved my lost soul from torment and strife. Christ died on the cross just to show me His love. He's building a home up in heaven above. And I am amazed that He take the time to give me such blessings and fill up my life. God is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. I am so blessed. I stumble as I journey this way, but His mercies are new every day. His grace is sufficient for every trial. He amazes me more and more every mile. He gave me His word in this precious old book. It speaks to my heart every time that I look. Me and helps me when tempted to sin. Through Christ my Lord, over
forsaken highway.
I am amazed that he take the time to give me such blessings and fill up my life. God is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. And I am amazed that he take the time to give me such blessings and fill up my life. God is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed.
Your circumstances don't determine your joy. Joy is something you have to choose. Contentment is something you have to choose. And I think Paul and Silas in that jail, and it's midnight, it's night, they're in chains. And what did they choose to do? They chose to sing. And because they chose to sing in the dark of the night, in a prison cell, in a jail, God heard them singing. And sent an earthquake, and their chains were loosed, and the jailer fell down before them and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they were able to lead this man and his whole house to the Lord, just because in a dark prison cell they were letting their light shine for Jesus Christ. And when you praise the Lord, even when your circumstances aren't ideal, when you praise the Lord and you choose contentment and you choose joy, you are letting your light shine for Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you, no matter what your circumstance is today, let your light shine for Jesus Christ and let it shine bright. Here's Dan Wolf with the song Praise the Lord. You're listening to 11 to 1, and this is Faith Music Radio. Stay with faith.
Shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes. And you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. Serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers, when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, and the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits grace. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they dropped.